Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this 24th day of July, 2021. Welcome to those that are joining us on the phone or listening to today's recording, and glad to have you in fellowship with us. Have one announcement to make before we get into our church service, and that announcement is that this next Sabbath, we're going to be at the Oklahoma Home Church giving meetings there. This church room will still be available. It will still open. We hope to be able to broadcast live from Oklahoma here, but if that is not possible, then the same topic that I will be giving over in Oklahoma will be broadcast here in the room. It's already been recorded. And so you can at least hear the same subject matter that I will be dealing with over there in Oklahoma. So this home church is going to be open. Sister Garay in the Columbia Home Church Children's Meeting will still take place, Lord willing. The children's service with Sister Rose will still take place here, but the adult Sabbath school as well as the main church service will hopefully be broadcast from Oklahoma. I think we'll be able to get the audio part of it, but the video may be difficult. But if for some reason we cannot broadcast, then the services will be broadcast here in the room because they've already been recorded. So looking forward to being with our brethren over in Oklahoma and sharing the present truth with some who may have never heard it before. And so we appreciate your prayers in that regards. The women's meeting for this coming Monday is still going on. The Wednesday night meeting is still going on with Brother James. But the Friday evening service will be in Oklahoma. And again, if we're not able to broadcast from there, then we'll have the same sermon that's going to be broadcast put here into the room. So thank you so much for your prayers in that regard, and it'd be wonderful to share the light of truth with those who do not know it. And one of the joys of doing that is seeing the faces of the audience, those that are listening there. And with some, you can see that they're really struggling with what is being shared. And then the next time you look at them, perhaps they understand it better. And it's just a complete change in their expression. You can see that they've got it, you know. And that is such a joy to behold. So we appreciate your prayers for more of that joy to be realized by others. Our opening song is titled The Family of God. You will notice we say brother and sister round here. It's because we're a family and these are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. for I'm part of the family of God.
From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags on to riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel the sod. For I'm part of the family of God. Aren't you just really happy about that? Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. We're going to be learning more about the family here on earth that in proper performance and training, we become part of the family up there. Before we get into part three of our sermon, let's please bow our heads and our knees. Heavenly Father, thank you for making it possible that we can become changed from a rebellious son that wanders away from home to an obedient son that returns back home. All possible through the life, the sacrifice, the shed blood, and the resurrection of our Savior, who enables us to have our sins forgiven, washed clean, and given divine power to stand and come back home. We pray, Father, that thy presence will continue to be with us. And we thank you for being here and blessing us with your presence. Dear Savior, we also thank you for being here and also blessing us with the light of truth that shines from your glorious face, dispelling darkness and allowing us to come into the light. And dear Spirit, we also thank you for being here and for opening our understanding, allowing the light to be bright enough to awaken us and for convicting us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. Pray, dear Spirit, that you'll remove all attraction to the darkness, to error, to false doctrines, to preconceived ideas and opinions. Let these all fall by the wayside in contrast with the truth as it is in our Savior. And thank you for empowering the word upon our hearts and indeed bringing about a change. And we pray that this change will be clung to each day so that it may be lasting and not temporary. Be with all of those who have yet to hear the truth, and I pray that the glory of God will continue to fill this dark world until it has reached to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, and all have made their choice to accept or reject it, and then the end can come. help us to be getting ourselves ready for our probation to close. Help us to be more earnest in waiting, watching, praying, and working, so that we may indeed be children of the Most High, letting our light shine upon others, just as being on a hill and shining light all around to those below. So help us to let our light shine, illuminating the face of the Savior, who is the only hope for this sin-sick world. And dear Savior, as the great physician that you are, I pray that you will be with those that are hungering for light. Please fill them. That are thirsting for knowledge, please give them drink. That are sorrowing or sad, please give them happiness and contentment. That are sick or afflicted, please deliver them from this sickness and burden. That are troubled, that need comfort, please draw near them and let them know that in you they find peace, freedom, release, and contentment. So we thank you, dear Godhead, for being in our midst and for opening our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your word of inspiration today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, happy Sabbath, one and all. And our sermon's titled The Sacred Circle, and this is part three in our series. And last time we learned that the husband and wife are united together as one flesh through marriage. And so they're bound to each other as equals. And they are to try to see eye to eye on every issue in the family so that there may be peace, harmony, and unity in this family circle. But in those times when there's a disagreement between the husband and the wife in what should be decided in any non-religious issue, and they cannot come to an agreement between themselves, then the final decision is left with the husband, because God has made him the head of the wife and the family. We also discovered last time that if any husband lords it over his wife or mistreats her in any way, then God will not hear his prayers, and this husband will be doomed to a life of misery and failure. And we also saw that there is no basis in truth for any wife to mistreat or usurp authority over her husband in this family circle. Now, we also understood the importance of children lovingly honoring and obeying their parents. And we found out last time that when children honor, respect, and obey their father and mother, then they're actually learning how to love and obey their heavenly Father. And if they do, then God promises to bless these children with long life upon the land which he will give them. And ultimately, this land will be the new earth and everlasting life. But we also learned that if children refuse to lovingly obey their parents, then there is little chance that they will learn to love and obey God, and thus they will lose eternal life. So far throughout this series, we've discovered what type of government and order should be established and adhered to in each family in both religious and non-religious issues? But what are some of the specific responsibilities and duties of the father, the mother, and the children within this sacred circle of a family? And this is what we'll be investigating into today. And for those that would like to follow along with the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID834.htm. So what are some of the specific responsibilities of the father? If you look at quote number one, the father is the priest or teacher in religious matters. And you can find the references to back that up. The father is to lead his family forward and upwards towards God. The father is to bring each family member before Christ in prayer. The father is as a king who lays down the law for the family to follow. The father is to be easily approached or entreated. In other words, he's to make himself available for his children or his wife to come and talk to him, and he's not to be gruff or standoffish. He's to be easily approached or entreated. The father is not to be arbitrary in authority. The father is to provide for his family. And the father is to respect, love, and honor his wife. And we're told a little more about the purpose of the husband in a family. From Testimonies, Volume 2, page 701. The meaning of husband is house band. All members of the family center in the father. He is the lawmaker, illustrating in his own manly bearing the sterner virtues: energy, integrity, honesty, patience, courage, diligence, and practical usefulness. The father is in one sense the priest of the household, laying upon the altar of God the morning and evening sacrifice. The wife and children should be encouraged to unite in this offering and also to engage in the song of praise. Morning and evening, the father, as priest of the household, should confess to God the sins committed by himself and his children through the day. Those sins which have come to his knowledge, and also those which are secret, of which God's eye alone has taken cognizance, should be confessed. This rule of action, zealously carried out by the father when he is present, or by the mother when he is absent, will result in blessings to the family. So that's the meaning of husband, and these are some of the responsibilities of the father in this sacred family circle. So then what are some of the specific responsibilities and duties of the mother in this family circle? And if you look at quote number two, the mother is as a queen who also makes her word the law of the family. The mother is to lead out in early training of the children for Christ. The mother is the teacher, guide, and educator of her children. The mother is to keep at home and not spend her time gossiping in other places. And the mother is to respect and honor her husband. And we're also told a little more about what a mother or wife is. In the book Testimonies on Sexual Behavior, Adultery, and Divorce, on page 46, God does not call mothers away from home missionary work, which will leave their children under the control of influences that are demoralizing and ruinous to the soul. Are not her children in need of missionary labor? Are not her children worth earnest and prayerful effort? Shall she neglect home missionary work for a larger field? Let her try her skill in her own home, take up her appointed, God-given work. And then from Testimonies, Volume 5, page 594. If married men go into the work, leaving their wives to care for the children at home, the wife and mother is doing fully as great and important a work as her husband and father. Although one is in the missionary field, the other is a home missionary whose cares and anxieties and burdens frequently far exceed those of the husband and father. Her work is a solemn and important one to mold the minds and fashion the characters of her children, to train them for usefulness here and fit them for the future immortal life. The husband in the open missionary field may receive the honors of men, while the home toiler may receive no earthly credit for her labor. But if she works for the best interest of her family, seeking to fashion their characters after the divine model, the recording angel writes her name as one of the greatest missionaries in the world. God does not see things as man's finite vision views them. So we have a lot of faithful mothers and wives out there that are some of the greatest missionaries this world has ever seen. But they're not recognized by others as such. But praise God for faithful mothers and wives. So that's some of the responsibilities and other things dealing with wives and mothers. But what about the responsibilities and duties of any children in this family circle? If you look at quote number 3, as the younger members of the Lord's family and the human family, the responsibilities and duties of children are that they are to be respectful and to honor their parents. They are to follow the directions of the mother and the father that are given to them. Children are to be kind and affectionate toward one another. Children are to learn to be loving and helpful in the family, as well as to be loving and helpful to one another. And some pointers here. Boys or young men, how you treat your mother will determine in a great degree how you will treat your wife. In Adventist Home on page 47, we're told, let the woman who desires a peaceful, happy union, in other words, in marriage, who would escape future misery and sorrow, inquire before she yields her affections, has my lover a mother? Does he recognize his obligations to her? Is he mindful of her wishes and happiness? If he does not respect and honor his mother, will he manifest respect and love, kindness and attention towards his wife? So how you treat your mother will determine in a great degree how you will treat your future wife. So all the boys and young men out there, pay attention to that. But to the girls and the young women there, how you treat your father will determine in a great degree how you will treat your husband. So it works both ways. Now, this is just a brief look at how God would have our family government arranged and what are some of the specific duties and responsibilities of each member in this sacred family circle. And dear ones, if we would follow God's wisdom and arrange our family government based upon these biblical and inspired rules, if we would take up our appointed responsibilities in this family circle, then we will be some of the most happiest, joyful, and contented family members that there ever was. If you look at quote number 4. From the book Lift Him Up, page 253. Some households have a little church in their home. Mutual love binds heart to heart, and the unity that exists among the members of the family preaches the most effectual sermon that could be preached on practical godliness. As parents faithfully do their duty in the family, restraining, correcting, advising, counseling, guiding, the father as a priest of the household, the mother as a home missionary, they are filling the sphere God would have them fill. By faithfully doing their duty in the home, they are multiplying agencies for doing good outside the home. They are becoming better fitted to labor in the church. By training their little flock discreetly, binding their children to themselves and to God, fathers and mothers become laborers together with God. The cross is erected in their home. The members of the family become members of the royal family above, children of the heavenly King. In Sons and Daughters of God, page 258. The mission of the home extends beyond its own members. The Christian home is to be an object lesson illustrating the excellence of the true principles of life. Such an illustration will be a power for good in the world, far more powerful than any sermon that can be preached is the influence of a true home. As the youth go out from such a home, the lessons they have learned are imparted. Nobler principles of life are introduced into other households, and an uplifting influence works in the community. We're also told in Sermons and Talks, Volume 1, page 77. Do we consider and realize that the greatest influence to recommend Christianity to our world is a well-ordered and well-disciplined Christian family? The world sees that we believe God's word. So the greatest influence that recommends Christianity to our world to be something that is desirable is a well-ordered and disciplined Christian family. And in pamphlets number 123, page 45, the most powerful sermon that can be given the unbelieving world in recommendation of our faith is a well-disciplined family. Children that are educated to habits of self-denial and self-control and are taught to be courteous, kind, and affectionate will make an impression upon minds that nothing else can. So, in taking up your positions of responsibility, whether you're a husband, a wife, or a child, you are preaching one of the greatest sermons that has ever been given. So this means that parents can be responsible for preaching one of the greatest sermons to a non-believing world just by adopting and following this God-ordained form of family government. And children and youth, this also means that you can be responsible for preaching one of the greatest sermons to a non-believing world as well, just by your loving obedience to God and to your parents. And such a family as this will not only be preaching the greatest sermon to others, but they will also experience the glorious peace, joy, and love of heaven. If you look at quote number 5, from Signs of the Times, November 14, 1892. We are children of the heavenly King, members of the royal family, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The mansions Jesus has gone to prepare are to receive only those who are true, who are pure, who love and obey his words. In the mansions above, we shall meet to part no more. We shall know each other in our heavenly home. But if we would enjoy eternal bliss, we must cultivate religion in the home, for the home is to be the center of the purest and most elevated affection. Peace, harmony, affection, and happiness should be perseveringly cherished every day until these precious things abide in the hearts of those who compose the family. The plant of love must be carefully nourished, else it will die. So if we would enjoy eternal bliss, not just bliss on this earth, but forevermore, then we must cultivate religion in the home, godliness. We must be obedient to God if we ever expect to be with him forevermore. And this obedience starts in the home. So this heavenly peace can indeed become a reality in your family circle if each member of the family will recognize their place and in God's divine strength will lovingly perform their particular duties and responsibilities. Each has a part to play in the family. No one is left out. But dear ones, this peace in the family is also fragile. And if it is to survive and grow and increase, then it must be continually nourished. And it is continually nourished by daily maintaining it by each family member doing their part faithfully within this sacred circle of the family. each has a part to play in preserving peace. But there is another way in which this heavenly peace within the sacred family circle can be quickly destroyed and lost. And this great peace-destroying evil to any family is what we will discover in our fourth and final part of this series. I pray, dear ones, that each of us will recognize our place in the family, our responsibilities to be performed in the family, and look to Jesus for the grace and the strength to carry them out. Then we can have Christ in the family. His love, peace, joy, gentleness manifested in us in the family, and thus benefit one another as a whole. And this is my prayer. Our closing song is Come All Christians. Come all Christians, be committed to the service of the Lord. Make your lives for Him more fitted, tune your hearts with one accord. Come into His courts with gladness, each His sacred vows renew. Turn away from sin and sadness, be transformed with life anew.
Of your time and talents give ye, they are gifts from God above, to be used by Christians freely to proclaim His wondrous love. Come again to serve the Savior, tithes and offerings with you bring. In your work with Him find favor, and with joy His praises sing.
God's command to love each other is required of everyone. Showing mercy to one another proves conversion has begun. In compassion He has given of His love that is divine. On the cross sins were forgiven, joy and peace are fully thine.
Come and praise and adoration, all who in Christ's name believe, worship Him with consecration, grace and love you will receive. For His grace give Him the glory, for the Spirit and the Word, and repeat the gospel story to mankind His name has heard.
Son. And dear ones, may we indeed come to Jesus, learning of him and then carrying out his life in the family circle that we're a part of. And what a joy and peace we will have within our families, beginning in our hearts. And then what a sermon will be preached to others about God's love manifested through Christ and then through his followers. Christianity is indeed real because it brings about lasting changes in the heart. Please join with me in prayer. Precious Father, again we thank you, from whom all blessings flow, that you have revealed your perfect wisdom and will to each one of us through your words of inspiration. Father, please forgive us for failing in any part of what we have discovered is the responsibilities of fathers, mothers, and children. Thank you, Savior, for washing our confessed and forsaken sins away, giving us your perfect righteousness to take the place of the void, and then your divine grace and strength through your Spirit to enable us to change and to live a new life. We also pray for patience, for divine power to restrain our habits and our tendencies to quickly react to things without thinking. We pray for help to guard our words. And we plead with thee for this divine help every moment of the day, so that we may be, as parents, perfect examples of you to our children. And if we are children, to be godly examples to our parents of what a Christian is. Help our families to indeed be preaching a sermon that leads non-believers to Jesus, and not a sermon that leads them further into the world. Thank you so much for aiding us and for letting us know what your will is in this very important area. We thank you that your truth is indeed filling this dark world with the light of truth, exalting Jesus, and more decisions are being made to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Thank you for the privilege of being alive in these last days and partaking of thy Spirit in a greater measure to indeed be your sons and daughters in this wicked world. Help us to get ready. And thank you so very much for your aid and companionship in this battle. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise God for his word of life, dear ones. We don't have to walk in darkness. We have the light to lead us in the way. Well, next time will be part four, but that will not be this coming Sabbath. That will be the following Sabbath, which will be August the 7th. Will be part four of our series. Again, next Sabbath, we're going to be in Oklahoma. And our service will be different. But it will be wonderful to meet with other brothers and sisters. So again, thank you for your prayers. Are there any questions or comments or thoughts that you'd like to bring forth over what we've discussed in our sermon or other topics? Please feel free, dear ones. Are there any songs or testimonies that you'd like to bring forth or requests? Please also feel free.
I was just thinking about your cat, Slick, who joins for worship every morning and evening. He comes down for the singing and for special pets. What a cat.
Yeah, amen. He is a blessing. Yeah, his name is Flash, but Mom calls him Slick. Yeah, he can be upstairs sleeping away, but as soon as he hears, I guess, the word worship, you know, it's time for worship, or he hears, let's kneel down, you hear him thumping on the, you know, jumps down for where he is, and you hear him coming down the stairs. He's a little on the heavy side, so you hear just about every footstep. And then he comes right to where we are, and he wants pets. Yeah, or if he's sleeping soundly and he hears us singing, he'll come down and join us for worship. And now we have three cats. Now the other two cats are recognizing what takes place, and they're following his examples. So we at times have all three cats that are joining us for worship. Oh, that's neat. The comment says we have two Sabbath cats where we are.
My apologies to Flash.
Oh, he don't care. He goes by a lot of names. Oh, praise the Lord for animals.
Do you have that song, 'Tis Love That Makes Us Happy, 'Tis Love That Smooths the Way? It helps us mind, it makes us kind to others every day. God is love, we're his little children. You don't have that one? Let me just sing one verse to you. It's such a neat song. 'Tis love that makes us happy. 'Tis love that smooths the way. It helps us mind. It makes us kind to others every day. God is love. We're his little children. God is love. We should be like him. And when this life is over and we are going home to be with him for eternity, with Jesus in his home. Those may not be the correct words in the last two sentences, but they rhymed, and they're true.
Amen, amen. I think they go like this. And when our life is over and we are called above, our song will be eternally of Jesus and his love. God is love. We're his little children. God is love, we would be like him. 'Tis love that makes us happy, 'tis love that smooths the way. It helps us mind, it makes us kind to others every day.
Oh, thank you. You did get that right. It's like, oh yes, that's right. That's how those words go. Thank you.
Well, thank you for teaching it to me, bringing it back up to our remembrance. Are there any other songs or comments, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
I have a praise the Lord. Our friend Bob is in the hospital, and his legs are swollen. On his right foot, the heel is black, and it's not good. but the doctors couldn't figure out what the swelling was, and I still don't think that they know, but they put him on a very, very strong treatment of the Lasix, and now his swelling of the legs are going down, which is a praise the Lord, because that's what we were praying for, that his legs would go down in the swelling. And later today or later tonight, I'm going to call him and see how everything is. So if you could keep that in prayer. I wanted to say that about, praise the Lord that the swelling's going down. So thank you.
I'll be praying with you for Bob.
There's a song that somebody tried to sing. We found the words to it, called Smile, Smile, Smile. There's something quite peculiar about this world of ours. Sometimes we live in sunshine bright, sometimes we live in showers. But if you would keep happy when things are looking bad, just lift the corners of your mouth and make believe you're glad. And smile, 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 and keep right on a smiling. Smile, 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 the clouds will pass away. Smile, 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 it's better far than pining. You'll never mind the shadows on a sunny day. Sometimes you meet with people who always act so blue. They don't like this, they don't like that, no matter what you do. They never are quite suited with anything you say. And when you start to do a thing, they want a different way. But smile, 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 and keep right on a smiling. Smile, 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 the clouds will pass away. Smile, 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 it's better far than pining. You'll never mind the shadows on a sunny day. And so like birds and sunbeams, we should be cheery too, and try in every single thing our very best to do. Then drive away ill temper, forget to frown or pout, for Mr. Grouchman's waiting round to catch you, just look out. So smile, 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 and keep right on a-smiling. Smile, 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 the clouds will pass away. Smile, 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 it's better far than pining. And soon you'll see the sunbeam stealing down your way.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. It's been ages since I've heard that song. And thank you so much, and let us all avoid Mr. Grouchman and instead dwell in the sunshine. So thank you, brother.
Another sunshine song, the chorus goes, heavenly sunshine, filling my soul with glory divine. Heavenly sunshine, praise the Lord, Jesus is mine. Do you have that song?
Not yet, but thank you for the suggestion.
We have a little praise to share this morning. And also a song after that too. Yesterday, actually, I was doing some work in the house trying to, cover the skirting around the mobile home. And I have a helper, actually. I asked him to help me, so he came. So as we were working, actually, I was very careful in trying to invite him into the meeting next Sabbath, that he will come. And I did try to invite him, and he said, who is that? You know, I mean, which ministry are you talking about? Because I told him that I have invited the Let There Be Light ministry next Sabbath. He said, he told me that, is he the person that was very calm in talking? And I said, have you heard him? I mean, have you, know about the ministry? Oh yeah, I've actually, once in a while, I actually, that was 2014, I think he mentioned that he was actually joining the, online, you know, worship. So I was so happy that, I have invited him, that he said, yeah, I will come. And so his family actually will be in the meeting next Sabbath. He has a wife and two kids. So he said that 2014, they've been joining, you know, even the Sabbath school, the children's Sabbath school. So I'm so happy for that. And he will be attending. Hopefully he will be next Sabbath. He will be attending the meeting. So praise the Lord. And the song we would like to share, this is actually found in Upward Luke page 315, regarding about the definition of the church. A lot of people think that the church is a building, but it says here that the church is a people. So I'd like to sing that song. God has a church, it is not the great cathedral, neither is it the national establishment, neither is it the various denominations, it is the people who love God and keep His commandments, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18:20, God has a church. It is not the great cathedral, neither is it the national establishment, neither is it the various denominations. It is the people who love God and keep His commandments, where Christ is even among the humble few. This is Christ's church, for the presence of the High and Holy One, who inhabited eternity, can alone constitute a church. Upward Luke, page 315.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother and sister, for that duet on that very important passage. And praise the Lord that the brother that you invited has consented to come, looking forward to personally meeting him and his family. Kind of curious who he is, but you can tell me that later. But praise God. And it's such a privilege to be able to let your light shine to others. And by emptying what you have learned from God's word, sharing it with others, it enables you to be filled with greater light and truth, which you can in turn share with others and in turn learn even greater. So it's a blessing to be able to share the truth with others. And it's a blessing for them to hear the truth and thus to be able to grow in knowledge and, Lord willing, in accepting Christ as their Savior forevermore. Well, thank you, dear brother. So each one of us is ordained by Christ to witness the truth to others. So you don't have to wait until some church group puts their hands upon you and ordains you to share the gospel. Christ has already ordained you. So go forward and let your light shine. Are there any other thoughts or comments? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking right in the corner where you are. You don't have to be a minister. You can just tell what God has done for you. But it helps to have ministers that are truly God's ministers.
I have a praise and a testimony, but I'm going to just show a picture. Oh, boy. This picture is not pretty. But I'm going to show. I'm assisting IIOM. It's an online school for the help message. And I have a course that I was taking, hydrotherapy. And I'll show the book in a little minute. This is the book that I was having a little bit of a problem because besides the course that I had to take, which by God's grace, He let me pass with a 96, there was another section that was like a type of clinical, and I had to do things with your hands. It's like you had to find three patients, one that had high blood pressure, the other one, it can be diabetes, the other person can be allergies or things like that. And being that I'm still recovering from my hand because of the injury that I had, the inside has not been fully, it hasn't been fully healed because it's going to take like about 2 years, being that it went through tendon, ligament, and muscle. So I never stayed that long with a course, but this one, it was kind of hard because I had to use my hand. I had to do cold fictions with this glove that when you put it on, the glove itself is rough. So anything that you lay on that particular palm is very difficult to do. And then you have to friction the leg really, you know, a little, not really hard to make it discomfort for the patient, but at least to make the blood flow, that whatever injury or whatever it is that you're trying to be able to give them, it may be able to circulate the blood. So I didn't know if I was going to pass it because of the hand. So on Sabbath, I'll tell you what Sabbath it was. In the week of, I think it was June 16. Let me see what Sabbath it was. I'm sorry. I don't want to take too much time, but this I learned that even in difficult situation that you may not truly understand why things happen, but you have to be obedient. So this was of the third, let me see, it was of the 12th. I finished doing everything that I had to do, and I usually like to get like hot water and to put like my tea to allow the tea to be able, and these are herbs. Because I'm trying to be able to not take any kind of pills or anything like that. So I just heard it in my heart to put on my compressed socks. And I did put a little bit of the Vicks VapoRub. And it's because of the menthol at the time. So I went into the kitchen to try to get the mug. And in that particular hand that I have, because of the injury, I don't really have any, like, feelings at the tip of my fingers. So it feels like you're holding something when in reality there's nothing in my hand. So when I picked up the mug to hold it, the mug wasn't really in my hand yet, but I thought I was holding it. So the mug fell on the ground and it was piping hot water. And it hit my 2 feet. Now, the thing that is amazing, I'm so glad that the Lord told me to put on the compressed socks and put the ointment inside, because if I wouldn't have done that, the type of burn that I would have had, it would have been really bad. So calmly, my son started to say, Mommy. And then I said, no, let me go and sit down. And then I peeled the socks off my feet. And then I told him, Joshy, go into the refrigerator and get me an ice pack. So when I started to put the ice pack, it started to kind of like burn. But when you put the ice on it, it started to cool. But it's like I couldn't pick it up, because every time when I pick it up, it feels like somebody just put like a match and just light it up. So it's like it wasn't staying to regulate the pain. So at that moment, I told him, Joshy, go into the refrigerator and get me, I have some aloe leaf frozen. Every time when I take the aloe, I take the leaf, don't throw it away, leave it in the refrigerator, that in case anybody have any burns or anything like that. So I have my little concoctions in the refrigerator. So I took the aloe leaf and I laid it on the feet, and it canceled out the pain and everything. But I said, I can't stay with this all day, because as soon as when the heat of the burn, it will start melting the ice that was on the leaf itself. So then at that moment, the Lord impressed me, don't forget that you know what to do with the burn because of the class that I had. I said, oh, yeah. So I said, Joshy, get me the bucket. And I got a lot of ice cube and put the water and immersed my 2 feet on it. So when I immersed it canceled out the whole thing. So I stayed there for a little while, until when I can be as much as I can take it. So when I took out my feet from the, Joshy, you have the. So the feet were very, it's like you couldn't recognize the feet the way how it came out. So at that time, I said to myself, okay, so I'm going to go and do the other therapies that I have to do. But the next day, this is what my feet look like. Like nothing really happened. And I wanted to know, okay, Lord, I don't understand why that came about. So the deadline was coming for my clinical test. And then I said, Lord, I don't want to fail this class. I don't know what to do. He impressed me. Go ahead and just tell them exactly what happened. So what I did, I sent my documents from the injury from my hand. I showed them the hand. I gave all of the details, and especially the one that happened with my feet. I didn't have the process because I was supposed to take pictures of everything. I sent the process of what I did, and guess what? I aced my class. That little accident, the Lord was helping me to do something physically, but not knowing that that was going to help me to pass my class. I want to show you the picture of what my feet look like the next day. And it's like it never happened. I don't have no scars. I don't have anything. So in this class, I'm becoming even a patient. Because this is what my feet look like the next day. Nothing happened. No scars or anything like that. So not only praising the Lord that the Lord was merciful in allowing me to be able to remember all the process, but also to use all of the skill that I have learned and still pass the class. I just wanted to praise the Lord on that one.
Amen. And praise the Lord for his divine protection. Praise the Lord for his instruction beforehand, as well as after the fact. And God is very good, dear sister. Yeah, amen. Aloe vera is excellent for burns. A burn will take, depending on how severe it is, it will remove the moisture out of the skin and the cells. Aloe vera puts back that moisture in. And so the quicker you can get aloe vera on a burn, the better it is for the tissue, because it will restore the moisture back into the cells and hopefully get them before they've died, you know, before it's too late for them. But aloe vera will also help regenerate the tissue underneath and thus restore it back to normal. So praise the Lord indeed. And aloe vera is really easy to grow. If you're in a cold climate, keep it indoors, you know. Are there any other thoughts or comments? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones?
This might seem trite, but Santiago and Anna helped me get on to WhatsApp. That's an application on your telephone. And I was able to make contact with Rosa, the little girl who now is a lady, a grandmother, that we adopted kind of indirectly. Her mother died in childbirth next door, and mother went over and got all the children and brought them to our place in Guatemala to take care of them. Pretty soon the two older boys said, we got to go back and take care of the property. Dad's going to sell it to buy alcohol. And the uncle said, I want the youngest boy. Well, we had no claims to him, so they all, those three left. We kept Rosa and Leonel and put them through our little school there. And somebody, I'm not sure who it was, in a similar fashion, adopted Leonel, and he left our mission. But Rosa, we kept her there, and we finally sent her to the Adventist boarding school in northern Guatemala. And she stayed there for a number of years and progressed. She would have been nothing but an ignorant Indian if it hadn't been for that. And she told me on a phone call a few months ago how appreciative she was for what my folks had done for her. Because all the little girls in that country, the only way they can make any money is in sin. And there's plenty of men around that will help her. But I told her, I said, Rosa, I wish my folks could have heard you say that. Anyway, I made contact with her and got some pictures of her and her daughter and grandchildren. And she said, I just feel like family to the graves. I said, you are a little sister. She said, that makes me want to cry. Anyway, thank you to Anna and Santiago. I was finally able to make contact with her through a program called WhatsApp.
Well, praise the Lord, dear brother. I'm glad you were able to find your long lost stepsister, adopted sister. Praise the Lord. It all worked out great. Brother Ron, your mic is on. Would you like to share something, dear brother? God bless, dear sister. Have a wonderful remaining Sabbath. I'm looking forward to being back in fellowship with you. I'll be giving you a call probably tomorrow, if that would be all right. Are there any other thoughts or comments, any other questions, testimonies, songs that you'd like to bring forth, dear ones, before we close today's service? Please go right ahead. It's been a wonderful church service. Appreciate your participation and your fellowship. And please keep it in your prayers. This next Friday evening and all day Sabbath, we're going to be in Oklahoma, not too far from Dallas, and presenting studies and a fellowship there. And thank you so much for your prayers. Dear ones, until we meet again, go with God, keep close to Him, and keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up. Air hugs everywhere around.